Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
All right, joined now by Mike Muscala. Mike, always a pleasure. Great to have you back.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Doing really well. How about you?
I'm good. Thanks.
And congratulations on what's a great honor, obviously. What does that mean to you?
It's a big honor. Just reminds me of the fun 4 years there. You know, we spent it with my teammates, and just grateful for the coaches I had there, really. I mean, feel like I just improved a lot as a player and as a person, and always good memories. So it'll be fun to go back there in September.
What do all of those people mean to you as to the foundation they gave you that allowed you to succeed at the next level?
They were all really competitive, and they wanted to improve. You know, my teammates and Dave Paulson and Dave Fisher, Aaron Kelly, the coaches, you know, playing with Bryson Johnson and Joe Wilman in my class, and some of even the older guys like Daryl Shazer, Brian Cohen, Pat Bean. So, I mean, really just like learning from them and being around them every day in such a, you know, a tight-knit, you know, focused campus like Bucknell. It just it made for a good, challenging 4 years. So it just reminds me of all that.
You come out of, if I recall correctly, Mike, out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I just watched Jalen Pickett get drafted into your league. And Jalen, when he came out of high school in Rochester, had no offers, went to prep school for a year. Then when he came out of prep school, he had offers from Canisius, Niagara, Siena. Right? Then eventually, after 3 years, got to Penn State. What were your offers out of high school, and why Bucknell?
The other school I was strongly considering was Santa Clara, California.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Steve Nash.
That's right. Yeah. But I chose Bucknell because, Dane Fisher, the assistant coach at the time, he's now the head coach at William & Mary, he, recruited me, primarily and got on the phone with him, and then Dave Paulson joined too, and just, I felt like just a natural connection with them. And then I went to visit the campus in August, just for an unofficial visit, going into my senior year of high school, and it was just a beautiful day. And I met with the professor, and I don't know, I'd never really been on a campus, and it just felt right, you know, deep down. So I decided that day on the unofficial visit that I'd join.
Mike, when I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times on the show, but I'll repeat it here. And it's not just about you. It's anybody that's in your situation. The respect I have for players who have the ability at the professional level to keep their careers alive and to keep going, my respect is off the charts. It takes a lot to do that. You've had a lot of visits in a lot of different places and a lot of different cities, and there's about to be a new one coming up. What has it taken for you to keep your career alive and to keep your game relevant in the league?
Well, thank you, first of all. And it varies, I think, you know, throughout the years. But I think as my career gets closer to ending, you know, and seeing all the great young players that are entering the league, there's just a sense of, you know, gratitude, I think, mostly, is a big motivator for me, just feeling grateful for being able to still play the game and have an opportunity to play, you know, wherever it is. And the fact that it's still in the NBA right now, I feel grateful. So I think that's probably the biggest, you know, factor for me right now. You know, when I was younger, it was, you know, I'm still competitive, but, you know, it was a little bit different, you know, when I was younger. But to be around that and then to be able to help kind of, you know, mentor some of the younger players a little bit, because I've gone through, you know, a fair amount in my 10 years in the league, is also rewarding. And then also playing on the Celtics this past year was really fun too. I mean, they were a great team, great players, and, you know, to be back in the playoffs, and just, even though I wasn't playing, really just to be around that high level of basketball in the playoffs was really fun.
I'm sure it was. Now, I mean, let's face it. How surprised were you that you were dealt in the Porzingis trade, and just what was your reaction? Because obviously you've been a lot of different places, so how do you react when something like that happens?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm kind of used to it now at this point, you know? I was just talking with my agent yesterday, and we're just kind of counting all the different teams I've been on. And I actually ran into Landry Shamet today. I'm out in New York City for a weekend, actually hanging out with some Bucknell guys, and ran into Landry. And we were teammates together on the Sixers, and both got traded at the same time to the Clippers, actually. And I just told him it was his first year, you know, and I just said, listen, you're going to learn a lot from this. You know, being a young player, having to go through something like this, getting traded, just embrace it. And to see him now again after he's, you know, been on a few different teams since then, we just kind of laughed about it, and it seems like he's matured so much, you know, from that time. And so I think that's just kind of how I approach it, just like, you know, getting a chance to be in a new city, be in a new organization. You know, sometimes change is not the most fun, but you can learn so much from it. And I feel like even this past year, getting traded from Oklahoma City, the Thunder, and had a really good time there for a couple of years. You know, getting traded to Boston during the middle of the season, it was like, it was fun, you know, and I learned a lot from it, even though there were some parts that were a little bit challenging.
By the way, this is Team 6 for the fans, so along the way. Obviously, Shamet was in the Bradley Beal deal. How do you want to approach it in Washington? I mean, you talked about mentoring younger players. This is going to be a young team. Is that part of your mindset going in? Obviously, you want to do everything you can to get your minutes, play well, but is mentoring going to be part of it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but yeah, definitely still love to play the game. You know, I feel like I'm in great shape. Been training hard, even though the season just, you know, ended for us, you know, 3 weeks to a month ago. But just trying to get healthy, you know, the older I get, just valuing, just trying to be in shape, you know, keep shooting the ball and just having fun out there. You know, I do think I want to coach at some point when I'm done playing. So just kind of approaching the game a little bit, you know, from that mindset while still being able to be a player for me is really fun. Mm-hmm. And playing in a pro-am this summer too in Minnesota, putting a little team together, so that'll be a fun little project.
That'll be great. The coaching part of it, I watched Juwan Howard for a long time, obviously when he was with Miami, did a lot of helping out with the coaching staff near the tail end of his career. Now I watch him all the time at Michigan, especially when they're playing Penn State. Is there anybody mm-hmm. you're trying to look at to maybe mentor you as a possible coach down the road?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I was just connected to Jay Wright through another former Bucknell alum. So we haven't actually spoken yet, but that would be, you know, that would be a blessing. I guess for me right now, you know, when I was in on the Celtics, there was an assistant coach there. He's now moved out of the Rockets, but Ben Sullivan, he kind of mm-hmm. took me under his wing a little bit. You know, I told him that I was interested in coaching, and so he took me up to his office on a game day, and he had the scout for that game. And so what they do in the NBA is, you know, there's a lot of different games, a lot of different teams, obviously. So they break up, you know, different teams and scouting reports to different assistant coaches. So he took me up there and just showed me what he, you know, what his mindset was, what his process was for putting together these clips that he was going to eventually show the team. So later on when I saw him, it was kind of cool to see that, you know. But I guess for now, just kind of trying to pick up bits and pieces and just still be focused on the playing part. But, you know, we'll see as it gets closer to retirement.
Was there a player that in your career, all these stops, and I should mention Team 7 was actually Dallas who drafted you, but was there anybody along the way that was a stop for you where you benefited greatly from the knowledge of that player?
I mean, playing with Chris Paul in Oklahoma City, he was there, you know, there for 1 year during that bubble year. It was really fun. You know, he was a great leader, and he just really showed me, like, when you believe in yourself and, you know, you can accomplish a lot. Like, we had, they gave us a very slim chance of making the playoffs this year, or that year, rather. And he just came in with a lot of confidence and, you know, attention to detail, and we ended up having a pretty good year. So I would say that that stands out to me.
Yeah, well, it's how would you describe the experience of the NBA, the travel of it, the arenas, the 82-game grind of it? How would you describe it?
From a broad sense, let's see. You know, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of travel. You know, there are late nights. You know, we're not landing until, you know, 2-3 a.m. back wherever you are. Sometimes there are back to back games. Obviously, they've kind of cut down on those. But you know, I think, like, as the years have gone on for me, it just feels like much more of a bigger community than I first felt. You know, I think that's probably because I've been traded, you know, quite a few times. But you know, just the fact that even as you see now with the draft happening, and, you know, as free agency comes up, how often, you know, guys are kind of moving around to different teams and all that. It's just, it's a cool league, you know, because there's just all these, you know, rules in place to try to, you know, create a sense of, you know, fairness in a way so that the competition remains high. And so as the years have gone on for me, I've just grown to really, you know, appreciate that side of it, you know, where it's kind of like a chess game to some of these general managers. And then you got these young fellas coming in that, you know, continue to push the game forward in terms of their athleticism and their skills. So it just feels like a, you know, a good mix of those two things, you know, some more old school principles and the business side, you know, compared, also coupled with, you know, high level of basketball.
Well, I just watched a guy that was in the league for 10 years, played with a bunch of teams, ended up in management, and ended up being the GM of the Denver Nuggets, Calvin Booth. Your path is far from done. Mike, thanks so much. Congratulations on an honor you richly deserve, and I congratulate you. Some people would like to spend 10 minutes on the floor of an NBA game. You've already spent 10 years, so congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. It's always a pleasure talking with you. I appreciate it. Thank you.